Hey, everybody, we're talking Faith Evans' bad boy lawsuit and Louisiana floods and a lot more on Black Hollywood Lives this week.
You are tuned in to Black Hollywood Live this week.
I'm just going to let this beat kick in real quick before we even intro the show again. What y'all wanna do?
Hey.
Wanna be ballers, shot callers, brawlers. Who be dipping in their bins with the spoilers? What's up, everybody? Welcome to Black Hollywood Live this week. We thought this music was appropriate today because one of our topics is Faith Evans and a big lawsuit that she has had this week. And of course, it's about the Bad Boy reunion tour. You know what I'm saying? That I hope
I go to
in LA because
isn't
the one
like
in New York.
Week?
No, it might be coming up soon, yeah, but the one in New York happened. I heard it was off the chain.
Yeah, I've heard amazing things.
All right, well, thank you for coming in. My name is Daryl Kristen. Joining me today is Courtney Stewart.
What's up, y'all?
DJ Jesse J.
What's up?
And our very special guest is our boy, David Bianchi.
Hey, what's up, people?
Yay! Writer, actor, producer, All Out Dysfunction, which comes out next month.
Yes, September 17th, nationwide, digital, VOD, IVOD. It's on Apple TV and iTunes now for pre-order, but let's get to the real topics at hand.
Get that pre-order. Get that pre-order on. We're going to talk to Dave a little bit more about the movie at the end of the show, but first up, we're going to start talking about these crazy topics we have this week.
Brother!
A lot of stuff in the news this week.
A lot of stuff in the news and on social media.
And on social media.
Social media is a mess, y'all! all right, well, so, you know, some curvy girls felt like showing out on Instagram, so they was posting and showing some love. As you can see the picture here, you know what I mean? Girls are just sick and tired of looking at this model that we have put out there of stick-thin women being the ideal. So they all decided to, you know what, hashtag curvy and show off their curves. Well, Instagram felt like this hashtag is breaking Instagram policies, y'all.
She ain't fat, girl.
She's no thing.
And they deleted the hashtag. They deleted all the pictures that were associated with it. And guess what? The curvy girl said, hell no. And they had a new hashtag called hashtag still curvy.
Okay.
So, Instagram, you can try to shut us down, but we won't.
I can't.
I mean, come on, y'all. Come on.
They weren't naked,
and this is the whole thing about it.
Freaking double standard is disgusting.
Because what?
It's a man's world!
It's so messed up. Like, it's so messed up. I cannot tell you how many titties and ads I see on Instagram on a regular basis. Ain't nobody shutting it down.
Well, what's her name? Chrissy Teigen was upset because they had pulled down W Magazine,
something like that.
Because you saw her nipples.
Well, and also Rihanna.
Here's
the thing.
But those are nipples.
Those are nipples.
How many fat guys I see on Instagram? Showing off.
But you're not fat shaming, though. You're not fat shaming.
I mean, no. If you're showing it off, you're showing it off. That's your
I mean, if you're confident in whatever
nude.
Your skin is, it's all good.
But I'm saying for dudes, like, no one's stopping those pictures or nothing. Like,
you sexy maniacs.
But yeah, you have to also think about it, too. It's like the vast majority of sexual consumers, and we all know this, are predominantly men, right? Mm. You know, you could put as many ab shots on Instagram as you want. You're not going to get banged with followers. If you show a little bit of cleavage, you're going to get a perpetual amount of followers, you know?
What?
We live in a society that is based on Puritan culture. We could take this all the way back where suddenly I show a little areola or I show a full frontal, I'm rated R, but I can blow someone's chest out in a TV show and it's PG-13. So what's wrong with sexuality? Why are we so afraid of it?
Because it's actual hypocritical puritanical culture, because it's not actually puritanical culture.
Because eggplants
we over-sexualize children and we're fine with that.
Right.
And we sexualize young women all the time, but then we want to say, oh, but you know, if she decides to do it on her own and decides it's okay to show her nipple, that's too much. We're not going to do that.
I mean, here's the thing. I think it's just a fine line between art and basically pornography nowadays on Instagram. I mean, I think that
if you are someone who is just showing your body, I mean, whatever, it's all good. But there are a lot of kids who are on Instagram. I mean, yes, you have parents have to monitor their kids and make sure that they're not looking at stuff what they're not supposed to look at. But that's unrealistic. Let's be honest. I mean, kids are going to be on Instagram looking at all these different pictures. This, I don't know how they can really say in this particular case that this is wrong, considering all the things that are on Instagram and body shots and all that stuff. Now, yeah, if Chrissy Teigen shows her nipple or Rihanna shows her nipple, yeah, I mean, I don't, you know, I can understand why that might be censored.
But we can have penis prints all out on Instagram. The game got all these hashtags. I mean, dick print just sitting on out here, but the curvy girls can't get...
Well, I think that, and forgive me for steering this a little bit off topic, but I think that the topic ultimately is where and why is there a double standard that curvy women should be able to showcase their bodies. These girls are in bikini tops. Sure, they may not be the status quo of what the media has trained us and educated us to believe what is sexy, but they are human beings that are very proud of their shapely figures, and I think that they should have every right to showcase themselves just as much as the you know, anorexic cokehead runway model chicks.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Well, I agree with you there.
100% agree. Listen.
Yeah,
what else is going on?
Unfortunately, we're not Instagram executives.
Clearly. But what policy is it that they're breaking?
Showing too much. Was like alluding to the fact that like there were some girls who would post like them in some booty short, like things that you would see a, you know, anorexic cokehead girl wearing. And so because it was a thicker person wearing,
basically
you could see like the you know what I mean, moose lips and clam spankers.
It's the same thing that happened when Lane Bryant did a commercial. Lane Bryant did that commercial that was exactly like a Victoria's Secret Angels commercial, but it was fuller women.
Yeah, and dubbed.
They were
too,
like,
right?
It was way too much breast and way too much butt cheek. It was too much meat. You can't handle all the meat. So y'all want to give the meat, but y'all don't want to see all the meat all the time.
And I think,
but you'd be at KFC.
I think that unfortunately, I think that there's a very gross prejudice that is interwoven within there, that if you are a heavy weighted girl and you wear less clothing, that it's perceived as vulgar, it's perceived as ugly. You know, which is...
I mean, it's the problem we have with society, body shaming. I mean, it's right. Ongoing, so...
We should just all go naked.
Remember a couple years ago, I think we talked about here, the girl that went, walked through Hollywood in her bathing suit?
Yeah, yeah. She was a fat.
David, don't be showing your ass too much.
Like, hold on, naked. No, okay. That would be boring.
Now that would be...
Like, he could take his shirt off, but if I took my shirt off right now, we would be in a whole other situation.
Not with your bra. Yeah.
Well,
wow,
right.
Daryl, what are you trying to dare me now?
Speaking of daring women on television, Good Morning America host Amy Robach experienced Black Twitter recently.
Yes, she did.
So she was in an interview. Is that a video? Do we have, or is that just?
That's
okay,
just a
no.
Yeah.
I was like, well, all right, Zach. All right. So basically, she was doing this interview for the new Spider-Man, in which Zendaya is going to be playing MJ, and that alone has been getting a lot of. You know, right. Interesting
Push
commentary.
Back.
Well, Amy made a comment where she was talking about diversity in roles and how Hollywood sometimes uses white people in colored people's roles.
Yeah.
Look, but let me ask you this question. Like, I think this is just ridiculous.
It's
just
funny.
So how is me saying, well, you're a people of color versus a colored person, they're the same fucking thing. The only difference is that colored people has a little bit more history with white hatred.
Well,
that's
what I was
going to
say. It's not the same thing when colored was used back in the day in a racist term. So
Sheila,
it's hard for me to say, you know,
Tyler
people
Perry
of color.
Has for colored girls.
Because black people say people of color, Latinos say people of color, but we don't call each other colored. I don't say, hey, colored cousin.
Up, color?
You know what I'm saying? Like, come on. So
my
for her
colored
to say,
brethren.
I mean, it was definitely a minor infraction, so to speak,
up,
but it was pretty funny, actually. Like, I think it's funny. Like, everybody came for her real hard. And
they
I
came
like,
for her mad
I'm
hard.
Like, and when I heard it, because I was actually watching it when it happened, I was like, aw, boo. Oh, no. You got to know better than that. Yeah. You on national television. You're,
I mean,
like, right.
And you're a journalist. Like yeah. that.
And this is not the time for that. This is not the time.
If you was Billy Bob in the backwoods, all right, right. Brother, maybe you ain't learned the new terminology. But girlfriend, you on national TV every
day. Good Morning America.
Right. And representing the world.
She said it very smoothly. So
yes, she did.
It was clearly part of her lexicon.
I was going to say, she said it before. Right. That's what I was going to say. She said it before.
She was so comfortable with that.
Again. But it's like, I just don't understand what the hype is all about. It's like, okay, so she said colored people. Fine. Can we move on to things that are a little bit more important?
I mean,
but people need
that's
to be educated. But here's the thing. It definitely is not like something that's going to, you know, break down the world, but it's something that people need to be educated on. When you say something ignorant or if you say something that's going to offend a lot of people, you need to be educated.
But my question is she not educated?
Me too.
Is she actually ignorant or is it just that it is a part of her lexicon and she's comfortable with that terminology and is fine with the tinge of racism that it in...
Me. At this stage, you can't tell me that she does not know that color offends people.
No, but or add it to this, too. I mean, I know she's a professional.
You're a journalist.
I understand that. It's a touchy subject, and I mean, let's benefit of the doubt that in her head she had slipped out because she had said that she had meant people of color. You know,
yeah, that was
the benefit of the doubt.
It's funny, even in my movie, All Out Dysfunction, there's a scene between myself and this character, Carrie, who's a white character, and she says, I'm going to hook you up with an agent. You know, Hollywood's always looking for their next big color talent. And that's a line that I wrote in the film. So it is, I do buy it. It is very offensive, but the way that she said it, it just came out so silky. Like, it's just
it was just part of her. Like, she said, tomorrow's Friday. You know, like, and on tomorrow's show, we're going to have colors.
We're going to have lots of colors.
Yeah.
Spice up your life.
Spice up your life, baby.
Well, the last one I got is
the
that.
Side of eggplant.
I mean, here's the thing. These trolls out here, like, don't understand your purpose because all you're doing is making someone more famous. So the trolls are back. They're trolling Leslie Jones.
Again.
Uh-oh.
And what they did was they hacked into her Facebook account, right. Posted a monkey, a gorilla.
They posted Harambe that got shot in Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Posted nude photos, I guess, of her, and pictures of her with all these different celebrities and whatnot. So Facebook
had her address, her ID, passport, and her driver's license.
So Facebook had to delete her entire Facebook account, and they basically said these hackers are doing this to her because she won't back down, because they look at her as a target because she is out here. You know, she won't go away. She, every time someone trolls her or something, she fights back, she puts a stance, she doesn't leave Twitter, she gets a lot of love, and it makes her a target for these internet trolls. They like to do this, and I know, my brother's all into this kind of stuff, like, not that he is that, but he is in the whole internet world, and he's like, they're crazy. It's like the open seas, and they're pirates, and it's just like these groups of people who just target people, and like some of them target big corporations. They get into their system, and for some reason, they just keep coming after Leslie Jones.
Well, it's just made her more and more famous, like you said. I mean, and it was her iCloud, right? Wasn't it specifically her?
Yeah, they pulled out of her cloud.
And then they were saying that like over 100 celebrities have been hacked like this in the last few years. My thing is, here's the thing. Also, when you put things on your computer, there is a chance to get hacked. I mean, do you have a new picture of yourself on your phone? Do you have a new picture?
I do.
I can answer for David. I'm sure he does. I'm sure he does.
I don't.
I do not do nudes for this
I learned
reason.
That. Yeah, I learned
I've
that lesson a long
time. I've worked in the tech world
ago.
For a very long time, and I'm very aware that there is no such thing.
I got a dick pic out there, but
nice.
My face ain't
I decided to delete.
You got to see it in person. You got to see it in person.
But I mean, at the end of the day, like I said, once you start putting certain things on there, I mean, yeah, you can't help your passport and driver's license, but people, especially when you're a celebrity, they get targeted all
get
the time.
Polaroid.
So
I think that there's a bigger message here, in that if you are an entertainer or in the public space, that this is the new modern day warfare against the celebrity. Now, with all that being said, we do have a variety of reality celebutants who will leave nameless, but we know who they are, who gained a supremalist amount of fame off sex tapes.
Right.
So there's also something to be said about that. So I love your point. So I think that as entertainers, we just have to be a little bit more educated. Be like, look, if you want to have cock shots in your phone, be ready for those things to go out when you book that big movie.
Right.
Because you are a target.
Or invest in cybersecurity, like certain cybersecurity. I mean, they can really break into everything.
There is no such thing as insecure space.
We've already learned that when we talked.
Like, it doesn't exist.
The Pentagon is getting hacked.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
it's got to be an unplugged hard drive in your third drawer, your sock drawer.
You better off sending it snail mail, because don't nobody check the mail no more for real. So just tell your man or your girlfriend or your whatever, like, I'm going to send them to you in the mail on a Polaroid. Print that shit off at home and send it in the mail.
You just sitting there with a Polaroid, like,
that's the one copy.
But here's the thing too. With this exposure of celebrities, it actually just helps them be more famous. At the end of the day. It just gives them more. I mean, is it going to hurt somebody if you have a dick pic out before you're in a major motion picture movie? The director will probably be like, release it.
Well, it doesn't hurt necessarily, but it's still a violation. So on a personal level, like, the violation can be devastating. Especially, like, you know, maybe, you know, people are judgy. Like, oh, you're.
I think particularly for her to be placed on the internet next to a gorilla, you know, alluding to the fact that you're a porch monkey or whatever.
And they keep doing that same gorilla.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like there is a lot of emotional scarring that comes with that. But again, I think that as celebrities and as public people, we have to be very aware of that because they're not showing up at your doorstep anymore. They're just taking all your stuff and putting it on the internet, taking it out the drive.
For international knowledge.
Well, Leslie, listen, I just suggest you just delete everything from your account. Just have it be like, you know, flowers and daisies, apparently. And stuff from your movie, you know? Maybe that's what you need.
Let them make you change your behavior. If you want your naked pictures, then do your naked pictures. Just know they might come out and these crazy people will do
that. I just care more about the address, like, and things like that. Because it's like family members can, like, get in her. Like,
family members, the crazies. The crazies can come, you know.
Well, no, but I'm saying, like, they can go
on
your
fence. I got you.
And I think that the another big concern as a celebrity is, like, is it counter your branding?
Yeah.
So there's, if you know, Colin Farrell, for example, gets some stuff put out there, some naughty pics, okay, that's cool, he's a bad boy.
Yeah.
But if a Renee Zellweger or something like that, then that's a completely different animal where it goes against her branding. Amazing. If there are racy images, you know, dildo images or whatever kind of images are
right.
out there.
Right. I just got like a whole bunch of like female celebrities like
Amy Robach caught with a dildo.
I just, my mind started going all these different celebrity women. A colored dildo at that.
I'm literally trying to think, well, who is it really going against their branding? Because everybody kind of sells sex now, so.
You know what I mean? Like,
that's true.
Is there anybody that it's really going to be damaging to their branding?
I don't know. Let's think about that.
I don't know. I mean, probably.
I'm just too tired to think. Yeah.
What's her?
Jennifer Aniston?
No.
I can see her. Right
the singer. The singer. She was. Taylor Swift. African American woman. American Idol didn't win, but became
Fantasia.
A stars.
Jennifer Hudson.
Yeah, that would be anti Jennifer Hudson.
Maybe. I mean, we'd be like, damn. But she's been trying for the last four years.
Taylor Swift, it might damage Taylor Swift's brand, or it might change her game and she get even more followers
because they're like, oh, she's a little freak.
No, but everybody thinks
Taylor Swift is a secret freak and just ain't out there like that. So it'll be like some of the country people are gonna be like, oh my god, and then everybody else, just like when Britney came out on Rolling Stone in the bra and the panties, everybody's like, see, we knew she was tricking like that. Like,
yeah, but I mean, we knew that from
Baby One More Time. She was out there with the.
But it was still like, I'm the good girl, but I'm just teasing a little bit, and then it was like all the way out. Slave for you.
Oh yeah, she's spread out. She went from schoolgirl to straight.
I feel like maybe there was
Did
a guy.
That was brilliant.
It was perfect because you actually bleeped what I just said, which is good. Because I said it too quick, and I was like, I probably shouldn't have said that. And then you bleeped it. That was perfect. Perfect timing.
All right, that's all I got for y'all. Though.
We're in sync.
Internet.
I wasn't trying.
Now you're gone.
All right, well, that's all I got.
That's all you got.
That's all that happened on the internet.
All right.
That's all that happened.
Courtney, I know you got some great stories for us.
I do have some great stories, and I do have to also tell you about a movie that I saw that everybody needs to go see. It's out this weekend, Southside with You. That is the story of Barack Obama and Michelle Obama's first date in 1989. It stars Parker Sawyer and Tika Sumpter and Vanessa Bell Calloway. Okay. And it's actually, some people are like, is it a chick flick? No, no, no. It's not really a chick flick. It's kind of like, I put it in the vein of like a Love Jones kind of moment. Like, It's Chicago. It's a little vibey. It's some great music, some throwback memories of Spike Lee and Do the Right Thing. And it's just a really cool short. It's a short movie.
I was hyped to go see it, so I'm looking forward to it.
Don't like long movies. It was only 88 minutes long. Oh. And it was just a really cute from start to finish of the day of them and their first date together. So go check that out, guys.
Do you learn a lot? You know what I mean? Do you learn a lot that we don't know about?
I don't necessarily know that you learn a lot that you don't know, because it's literally only the, like, what, 8-hour period of them, like, before, right before they go on this date, and then they spent basically an entire afternoon, evening together. So they go to a few different places, and you can just kind of see how, like, the romance sparks, and, like, you see how Michelle was not feeling him at all, and how he sort of turned the corner and made her...
Work it down.
Like, oh, okay, I'm kind of feeling you now. So it was really cute. You learn a little bit more about Michelle's family. Her mom and dad and sort of that relationship, which was interesting. And you learn about her father and what he did and why she sort of had the motivation for education the way that she did. And you learn about a little bit about Barack's family and how they were different and how they sort of came together and whatever. So it's a cute little movie. Go check it out, guys. It's in theaters on tomorrow.
I want to see that. And another movie, not to cut you off, David, that I saw this week and was able to actually interview the stars was Hands of Stone. It's Usher and Edgar Ramirez. Excellent. It's the story of Sugar Ray Leonard and Roberto Duran in their 1980s fight. And it's politically charged. It's racially charged. The fighting's great. Usher did his thing. I interviewed him this week and I told him, I was like, bro, is that a real fro that you had on your head? Or was that, like, you know, all fake? And he said, no, man. He'd say it took him several months to grow it out. But excellent movie to go check it out and really learn the story. Why the fighters wanted to fight each other so much and why they almost just, they had this long friendship, but it was also a hate at the beginning too. But great movie. Check it out.
Check out all these people of color doing movies.
That's right.
We're going to learn more about another one a little bit later. But first up, so everybody knows some people might not know actually, because the coverage of it hasn't been that great, but Louisiana obviously has been suffering from a major flooding for the last like almost 2 weeks now.
There's no coverage.
There's almost no coverage of it, which is scary. Yeah. And it is, in terms of the flooding, it's actually on par with the damage that was done with Katrina.
Yeah.
Basically, the people in that area, many of them are basically replanted to Baton Rouge from New Orleans when Katrina happened. So basically, these are a lot of people are suffering again 8 years later. When was Katrina? 2004? 5? 6? 2006, I think. So 10 years later, they're sort of experiencing this all over again.
Yeah.
One of the major problems is barely 20% of those households that were affected. There were some 350,000 households that were affected. Only about 20% of them actually had flood insurance.
Yeah.
So they thought they were out of harm's way, at least in terms of major flooding. So a lot of them didn't have it. So they're suffering tremendously. But if you check out madamnoir.com, they have a list of 5 different places where you can actually do something. You're sitting here, you see it on the news, you have no idea what you can do, if you can do anything at all, other than like go there. They have some great lists of different places. I'll list off a couple of them for you, but go get the details at madamnoir.com. One place you can help out is the Jefferson Parish Animal Shelter, and they need leashes, pet treats, dog toys, because one of the huge things that happens in these major flood situations is people's pets get lost random places. It's terrible. You can actually mail items to Jefferson Parish Animal Shelter at 1869 Ames Boulevard, and that is in Marrero, Louisiana, 70072. Otherwise, you can Google it and check it out, Jefferson Parish Animal Shelter. Volunteer Louisiana is feeding people every single day from Tuesday to Friday in Hammond, Louisiana, and they need volunteers. They use up to 25 volunteers a day, so if you're in the area, you can go down and help them out. They also are looking for volunteer nurses or medical students because they're having a hot... It's summer, guys. It's August. If you know anything about that area, it is hot as hell, it's humid. Mm-hmm. Lots of old people and people at this point that are displaced. So heat strokes and all kinds of heat issues are a problem for people's health. So they need volunteers that are nurses or medical students to come down. You can check them out. Again, that's Volunteer Louisiana. You can also hook up with Catholic Charities USA that helps people across faiths. It's not just for Catholics, in case you were worried. Check them out online. They're taking donations and mailings also. And the Foundation for East Baton Rouge School System. This happened right before school was supposed to start. So a lot of kids... can't go to school right now. 42,000 students are not able to be in school right now because of the floods. You can go online also for them and look at their list of what they need and what you can do to help them out. And lastly, Project 70805 is putting together packages of clothing, socks, and, you know, little random toiletries and non-perishable food. Baby formula is huge, baby diapers, things like that. Yeah. They need those things sent. You can either make a monetary donation online, or you can travel to the Urban League or mail it to the Urban League of Greater New Orleans. Address is 4640 South Carrollton in New Orleans, Louisiana. Drop them off if you're in the area. Help out. That's how you can help out the flood victims right now, because we're always wondering, what can we actually do?
And they're also, I read, they're also worried about the mold there.
Honey, mold.
A mold problem.
All kind of. Yeah. And the, I can't even, I can't
so many
imagine.
Things, yeah.
Yeah,
so
I pulled up some pretty staggering statistics on what's happening out there. 7 trillion gallons of rainfall in a week. That's 10.4 million Olympic-sized swimming pools.
Yeah.
Almost 32 inches of rain in one day. So that's almost 3 feet of rain in one day. If we consider those numbers of what's happening, this is biblical scale stuff.
It is, yeah.
You know, it really, really is. And it is scary, so.
It's insane. And those people are going to need help for a long period of time. Like, it's in our, it's barely in our consciousness now because there's not a whole lot of coverage on
it. Like, Instagram is how I found out about
it. Yeah. Instagram is how I found out because a friend of mine's mom's house was whatever, and she posted a picture, and I was like, whoa,
look
how long it took New Orleans to somewhat recover. And they still haven't fully recovered. You know what I mean?
So, yeah. Anyway, do what you can if you can. If not, maybe you can help somebody, too, who can do something. And
spread
let them know what's going on. Spread the info.
Mm-hmm.
Also, new cool information is about Black travelers. So there's a new, not too new, but there's an organization called No Madness Travel Tribe. And basically, they are working to sort of change the perception of Black people in international travel and making it more accessible to Black people and making it not just about your economic status in life. And, like, anybody can travel at any economic state or wherever they are. The founder, her name is Avita Robinson, and she said the concept of nomadness is really that there are no ethnic, economic barriers to being able to travel. Right now, they have 13,000 members, 80% of whom are women, and 85% are African-American women. And basically, it's like an organization that they sort of work through social media. They have a great website you can check out at nomadnesstv.com. And they put together packages for different countries like the Dominican, Brazil, South Africa, India. And they sort of match people up who have traveled before in these places and sort of...
So know where to go.
So you kind of know where to go and get the experience. So if you've never really traveled that much or traveled outside, because a lot of us, like a lot of people go to like the easy places, like London or like Western Europe. But there's lots of other places that you can travel to and be comfortable with. And they are sort of trying to open that door for people of color.
I love
to interact with each other and check it out. So yeah, it's awesome. Check it out at nomadnesstv.com.
And I was looking at it. It makes things a lot easier too, because you are trying to pick a different place. Like you said, you kind of go to the same places a lot of times, you know, and a lot of people don't travel at all because of this, you know, so this will give them an opportunity.
Jesse, 2017 is the year I'm leaving this combat experience.
We have to get Jesse out of the country.
I'm getting my passport and I'm experienced.
All right, well, let's start there. Let's get
your
passport.
We're going to get Jesse out of the country.
Just don't put it on your phone.
You know, that's, and unfortunately, me being of Afro-Brazilian descent, I travel the world quite a bit. I enjoy to travel the world. And I find that the American way of thinking is, okay, we're going on vacation, specifically the African-American culture. We're going on vacation. We're going to Miami. We're going to New Orleans.
Yep.
We're going to Dallas. We're going to Tahoe. Americans are really afraid to leave their comfort zones.
Yeah.
Right.
They're very afraid to explore the world that's out there.
Yeah.
And I think that's a great opportunity.
What's
to
one of your
educate.
Favorite places to go that you've been? That you recommend to people?
Which part of Brazil would you prefer?
I mean, all of them. From what I hear, all of them.
Bahia is incredible. Parts of Cozumel, Tulum, which is the Yucatan Peninsula in Mexico, is really, really incredible. The southern tip of Italy, down by like Caserta and Napoli, which is the Amalfi Coast.
Yeah.
Really, really incredible areas around there. Going to Phuket in Thailand. I'm looking forward to that.
See, I'd have to travel with someone like you because I watch too much like Locked Up Abroad 2020.
Not Locked Up Abroad.
That would be Jesse though. Like,
and I would, and I'd trust the wrong person.
What?
I'd be like, hey,
that would happen to Jesse.
Yeah.
Yes,
all of a sudden they're like, shove this up your ass. I'm like, what?
That would. You know what? You're right. You're right, Justin.
What was that one with, what's her name, back in the day when they...
Claire Danes?
Yeah, what was that
one? Oh, my God.
That, like, I broke can't. Down that something. Scares the crap out of me. That's, dead ass, that's why I will not leave this country until I am rich or have made it, and they're sending me to a hotel with a tour guide.
It's very, like, specific.
I'm too nice of a person, and I you're make right. friends with everybody, and you're I just... Right. I can't even deal with the sketchy it people would. Here in America. So, fucking other language, unless David Bion can take me, all right?
Man, you're more than welcome to chat with me as long as you keep shit out of your ass. You're all right.
Trust me. I ain't trying to get nothing.
All right.
Oh, my. On that note, we're going to close with a travel destination where you should be comfortable, which is London. That's speak of the English.
You got gangs of children running around.
Stop. We're... So this past weekend, actually, London celebrated its first International Slavery Day, and they had an event. They basically put together by an organization called Slavery Remembrance, and it took place in Trafalgar Square, and it was 2 days before August 23rd, which is actually the United Nations designated day of remembrance, which, by the way, I had no idea the UN in 2014 made a designated day of remembrance for the international slave trade. Mm-hmm. The day was come up with to mark the abolition of slavery and acknowledge the causes and consequences of the devastating transatlantic slave trade. So lots of Black London's residents, musical performers, poets, activists appeared all together all on Sunday, speaking out about the history of slavery and celebrating freedom and highlighting the importance of the world's collective history that was rooted in slavery. One musician and activist by the name of Akala performed at the event, and he spoke intensely about why ancestor worship and the remembrance of the past in England is so crucial. He said, quote, "When Black people remember their victimhood at the hands of the British Empire and colonial slavery, apparently they should get over it and it's all in the past. Even when the legacies of said brutality are still here with the racism and police brutality and mass incarceration and things of that nature." So they spoke about how what was the past may be the past, but it's still affecting our present, and that's why we should be here and talking about it and recognizing it.
That's great.
Mm-hmm. And it went down. So.
Power to people. Power to Brits.
Power to Brits. I was kind of surprised. It was like dozens and dozens of people, so not that many people was there, and I'm kind of like, oh.
Well, maybe the word needs
even
to spread
even if it was done in
more.
America. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's interesting that the word hadn't spread because
that's what I found.
It's a UN designated day, and then, like, it's interesting.
Yeah.
Hmm. Financial backing. That's what it's called. It's just financial backing.
But then it's wonder, like, who financially backing a Slavery Remembrance Day? Because I started to try to place that on the spirit that is America, and if that would ever actually work out into something, and I can't see it.
Well, you know, There's so many things in contemporary modern culture that are just completely forgotten about slavery. And I mean, you know, we only had 4 million, not to say only, but we had 4 million slaves brought to North America. 12 million slaves were brought to Brazil.
Right.
And so that's a staggering
increase
of slaves worth of what was brought to North America. And it's not recognized. It's not discussed. No. It's not part of the day-to-day activities, either because the powers that be don't want to discuss it, or maybe the people that are oppressed by it don't want to face it. Mm. It's all incredibly confrontational.
Yeah, that's true. But, I mean, hopefully they'll get more buzz about it, and it'll be a bigger thing as the years go on.
It's a step.
I think also getting more celebrities involved from different places,
sure.
I think that'll help. Will start sparking. Yeah.
I've just been curious to see if it just sort of evaporates.
I hope not.
Because I don't, whatever. We'll see.
We'll see.
Because I feel like, honestly, like, it was a few years ago, it was like they had made it on December 2nd. And
well,
I can't remember what country.
It first launched in 2014, right?
Yes.
It's only been two years. Yeah. Mm.
Yeah, so. I mean, there's, it's a grim thing to think about. I mean, when I was last in Brazil, I was in Sao Paulo, and I was also in parts of Bahia. And you can go to the coastal regions, which are the largest port regions, and they have preserved the iron shackles that are built into the stone.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so just seeing those things, it's incredibly somber. But then again, I see slavery reflected in incredible things like Carnaval.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like Carnival is rooted in slavery in the African drum. So then to me, I look at that as a celebration of slavery, which is now affecting the globe, as opposed to me going out publicly and trying to shame contemporary people that had no control over what happened a few hundred years ago and making them feel badly for what happened to my ancestors. I want to figure out a way to celebrate the culture as opposed to talk about how I feel oppressed today because of my history several hundred years ago.
But if your oppression today is rooted in what that was and nobody's willing to ever really address it, talk about it, deal with it, or handle it, are we still just turning the same
it's kind
eye
of a
and
balance.
It's just
right.
going
right.
to continue going to the cycle
same thing.
Of
sure.
yeah. what's happening?
Yeah. A balance of it.
So it sucks. I mean, it's, nobody wants to talk about like slavery and
sad shit. Well,
sad yeah. shit and awful shit, but at the same time, like there's so much culturally that we're yeah. messing up right now that we just need to work on.
I feel like every time David talks, I want to go to like Sunday sermon. I'm ready. I'm starting
12 million
Holy Ghost
people.
Up in BHL. Go to the Holy Ghost.
That was my tambourine.
All right. On that note, thank you, Courtney, for those hot topics. But we're going to move on to some more topics. Before that, we're going to start with the ER Web Story Spotlight of the Week.
ER Web Story Spotlight of the Week.
Well, we started off the show today with this song, which everybody knows is all about the Benjamins. Yeah. And apparently it is all about the Benjamins in reference to Faith Evans, who mm-hmm. was on Bad Boy for many, many years. Yes. Still got that first album, Faith, still in the playlist right there. Well, she is was sued by a promoter because
was.
Apparently she was supposed to do a show in Atlanta. She was paid $17,500 to do the show. The show was supposed to take place on September 10th, but the promoter's camp got word that Faith was not doing this show because she was going to be doing the Bad Boy reunion tour instead. So he sued her for $100,000, and the judge has ruled that Faith actually is okay to get out of the contract and that she can do the Bad Boy tour. And the reason is because she's a single mother of three.
Wait, what?
Does she have to get her money back?
I don't think she has to get the money back.
But the flaking on the performance happened before the current tour.
Because wait, September 10th.
She flaked on this particular promoter previously.
Yes.
That's why he's trying to
that's
bar
why he's,
her
right.
from performing now.
Right.
That's why he's suing her for $100,000.
Oh, because
I
saw a
the
report
same
that
day.
It was like in the same time. It wasn't.
Well,
I didn't
you,
see
she
the same
can
date.
Do
it was in the same
months.
Time period, and it was a certain amount of time
months,
and a
yeah.
space where in the contract, like you couldn't be in this amount of radius in this amount of time.
Yeah,
to
she couldn't do it within 6 months of booking this show
because that makes his show less valuable. So I. Sort
yes,
of understood it, but...
I'm kind of on a bit of the side of the promoter. I was a rave promoter for a while in New York, and I booked a DJ named Rock Raider, right? And he was the headliner of my show. I put the flyers out. I had a sold-out place. Mm-hmm. And then we found out the day of, he decided to not get on the plane. So what that did to my public Oof. Persona as a promoter and as a businessman, it's almost irreparable damage.
Yeah.
So what's going on with this $100,000 lawsuit... You flaked on the guy, and now you get mad because he doesn't want you back?
Yeah.
Yeah, because he replaced her with Next. But apparently they're saying that the ticket sales aren't as great now that Next is there.
Next.
You want to hear,
Baby, when we're grinding.
Not anymore, because all I hear is lying.
Well, once again, the ruling was in Faith's favor. And
that is crazy, because she's a mother of three.
She's a mother of three. They said she's a single mother of three. So, you know.
What judge is that? That judge just be jamming to Faith Evans.
What's funny? When I read it, I was like, that judge must be a serious Faith Evans
fan.
Because everybody, even all the articles were kind of saying that, like, there's no reason really that she should have been able to get out of this contract.
Or at least give the money back. That's
right.
crazy.
Or, and
that's,
pay damages, not just give the money back.
Well, that's why he's
suing
for
100
grand.
Because
$100.
Damages.
And he said
100.
That his, you know, reputation is at jeopardy.
Of
and
course
all that
it
kind
is.
Of so.
Well, Linda, listen.
Sorry, I still want to go to the Bad Boy.
You can get
I
mean, on the Bad Boy team or something.
Why can't she? My thing is, I guess because of the non-compete, but if he was, he probably should have just let her perform at both. He still would have got his money.
Yeah.
Or is it too close? Too close of a date?
I mean, personally, he should have let her perform at both because I see so many parties
he
where would've. The celebrity will have something at LA Live and then they're at the after party.
The after party doing something.
But that's also assuming she wanted to perform at both.
Well, no, but that's where I think it more was like.
It was like she didn't want to do both.
Well, that might be true.
Because Bad Boy was the bigger platform.
Yeah.
Honey,
you better take it wherever you can get it, girl.
Right.
I'm not mad.
I'd have taken both checks.
I think the judge should have gave him some money.
Vegas residency.
And TMZ is reporting that Faith Evans, quote unquote, promoter says she went gangsta on me. So
I believe it.
There was a lot of language thrown back and forth. There's a lot of, I mean, these egos are bravado.
I thought
you blocking somebody, you hot.
Yeah.
There's probably some strong arming there. Yes. And I thought it was more probably from the bad boy camp versus, you know, like, not Faith individually, but, you know, Faith is hood. She'll give it to you. You know,
and he's ATL, though, so he probably was, like, on his tip, too.
Okay, yeah, that would have been a fly on the wall.
Right. Yeah. Well, somebody who is not hood is Donald Trump. apparently, I don't know if you guys saw this, and when I saw it with my own eyes, it was very grotesque. I can't even take the image out of my head, but there are nude statues of Trump appearing around in different cities.
Instagram, why are you stopping this?
Right. Such as San Francisco, Los Angeles, Cleveland, Seattle, and New York City. The Washington Post reports that the group In Decline is responsible for the statues and are calling this their project. They're calling the project The Emperor Has No Balls. And the name is in reference to a famous fairy tale, The Emperor's New Clothes, in which an ego-driven emperor gets conned into strolling amongst his people in the nude. So, you know, what do you guys think of these images? Because the image shows Donald Trump butt-ass naked, belly flopping, flat anus, and small penis. So, you know, this is interesting.
I shared it on my Facebook page, to be honest with you. I loved what I saw it. I was like, yeah! And then it comes around, you see his flat butt.
Yeah, you see
it. It looks like he's sitting on a tree bark because it's all bumpy and red.
It's disgusting. And the weird thing is, I mean, outside of the face, there are certain things with the face, it doesn't look exactly like him. But from afar and in the images, it did look like him. It was kind of scary. So,
look, I'm just like, y'all wanted to do this ish with Michelle Obama and Ivanka Trump. Now the devil done rebuked you. They boo.
Well.
Yeah.
Courtney, did it turn you on?
Oh my God. Yeah. I mean. I appreciate that the organization that did it, like, I appreciate performance art in the political spectrum anytime, for the most part, especially when you actually, whether I agree with you or not, like, I appreciate that they actually had a point, sort of, and they were able to clearly articulate it.
Yeah, this is what they said.
I actually kind of get it, like, and I'm like, I got what y'all coming from, okay, I get it. But at the same time, I try to, like, how would I feel if that was really done to other candidates? If somebody did that with Hillary, I would not feel the same way about it. And it's just, I don't know. I think on a certain level, in terms of just human respect and respect for the office of the president, he is running for president. It makes me a little bit bothered that he is butt-ass naked. But I get it.
No, that is so true about the Hillary thing. People would be up in arms.
I think you would be up in arms. I mean, sure. Hillary.
Okay.
And I think that, I mean, obviously there's a different element there because she is a woman and all of that. But if we're doing it based on this idea that there is a message being communicated through a performance art piece, then we would have to give that same
This isn't respect. The first time that the group has gone after Trump. They protested after he made the comments about Mexican immigrants. And what they did was they spray painted an image of Trump with a ball gag in his mouth and put around it rapist. So, Trump is what it had around. They put rape Trump in the ball gag in his mouth, and it was in Tijuana.
That's violent.
Yeah. And this is what a spokesperson, an anonymous spokesperson for In Decline, said to the Washington Post. They said, like it or not, Trump is a larger-than-life figure in the world of culture at the moment. Looking back in history, that's how these figures were memorized and idealized in their time with statues. They hired Los Angeles-based artist Ginger, who specializes in haunted houses and horror movies, to make the statue.
I love that her name is just like Ginger.
Sex dolls. Ginger.
Ginger. Her name's Ginger. It's sex Ginger.
Dolls. Oh, she was probably, don't put my last name on.
But I agree with you, Courtney, but on the flip side, I just feel like Trump has said so many things that are just ignorant things.
We can go back horrible shit that Hillary has said too. And I know, if I'm being all the way real, if there were naked statues around the country of Hillary Clinton, whether that was the message or not, like, I would have an issue with that.
I think this boils down to the public anger associated with everything that Donald Trump stands for at a human level, to be able to go so far out of their way to present this sort of public mockery. Because one of these popped up in Los Feliz. Mm-hmm. This is a bicoastal thing. They're popping up everywhere. Yeah. And to the artists, there's also some murals that have been popping up of Hillary Clinton, where she's in a red, white, and blue flag, American bikini with saggy boobies, you know, and it's pretty offensive to Hillary Clinton. But this statue is just basically showing the world how upset and offended we are by the things and the behavior.
Here's of Donald Trump. You are so upset polls, and offended. That's what I my point. Show it at the polls.
If you're really like, upset,
if you're really
show it
that upset,
polls.
He shouldn't win.
And I'm just what makes my question is, you guys, is like, okay, what happens if he gets it right? How do we look outside of this country? You know what I mean? Like, that's just where I'm at. Like, as far as like, okay, we all have proven that we dislike this guy as our leader. What does that say to people looking at us as a country? And now we have to live with him. Oh, sorry, for 4 years. I don't know. Like, it's so interesting to me to.
That's a reality. I just can't stop.
You know what I'm saying? So
I'ma just think positive.
Statistically, it's not possible at this point. Statistically,
it's not. But until it's done and done, I don't.
Because shit, I thought psychologically it couldn't be possible when he first started. I was nobody that dumb in this country, and that man gonna beat 16 other candidates, and he did.
He did. All right. Well, that concludes our topics for the day. But we want to talk about All Out Dysfunction. We had you on the show a couple weeks ago, David, to talk about the movie, and now it's actually premiering September 17th. Correct?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And thank you. Thank you for having me back. This is always a fucking blast to speak of being politically incorrect. So we're now available on iTunes and Apple TV. Like, you can go there now and pre-order it. I invite you guys to please support independent film and, you know, independent producers, writers of color. In all the endeavors that we're trying to do. So yes, All Out Dysfunction, available on Apple TV and iTunes. We're going nationwide September 17th, cable VOD and digital formats, and then we go global. So it's exciting.
And we have we're going to end the show soon, but we have a quick clip of just a preview so people can check it out and really get a feel of what it's all about.
Six people with nothing in common. Meet the sex pot.
Hey boys, where was I?
Meet the addict.
Wait till you guys see this.
Meet the landlady.
Shut the goddamn porn.
Meet the misfit.
Buenos dias, mamacita.
The germaphobe.
Smell sex, then sex is airborne.
And the pervert.
You in the style of an orangutan.
Living together, all in one house.
I am strong like spear.
Wow.
What's my name?
And one of them has an idea.
I thought I'd throw a party here tonight.
What I care about is my money and my time.
You need my help, and I want half.
So now what are you going to do about this old lady, Clarell?
I don't know. Can we knock her out or something?
What about Clarell?
Scooter said he was going to take care of it. It'll be fine.
What a difference a dysfunctional day makes. All Out Dysfunction.
Yeah, All Out Dysfunction, September 17th. Yeah. Check it out, everybody, and support David and his great movie. And you have other stuff coming up, too, right?
You'll catch me on the season finale of The Last Ship. I'm on that episode, having a good time with that. That was really, really a special opportunity. And a new film called Destined with Hill Harper, Corey Hardick, Rob Reilly.
Oh, wow. Great cast.
That won Best Director at the American Black Film Festival.
Awesome.
World premiere at the Los Angeles Film Festival. So that's coming out soon. And right now, just doing a great promo tour and trying to just make sure that we can position ourselves to be successful filmmakers, you know, and set an example for all those other people out there that are thinking about making movies or thinking about being actors or trying to do it. It's like, all this is attainable, you know, and doesn't matter what color your skin is, you know, just get out there and do it and do not make an excuse for yourself. All Out Dysfunction.
Check it out. Where can fans find you on social media?
You can find me at David Bianchi Twitter, DBianchiSag on Instagram, Google David Bianchi. I'm the happy bald brown guy somewhere on the internet near you.
And then is there a specific site for All Out Dysfunction?
Yes, thedysfunction.com, DaveBianchi.com, exertionfilms.com. Do I have another .com? No. Black Hollywood Live.
That's right. Jesse, where can fans find you?
Everywhere at DJ Jesse J.
Courtney.
I'm everywhere at Stuart Starlet.
And you find me at Daryl Kristen on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, and Snapchat. We'll see you next week.
You ain't even ever on Snapchat.
I'm like, you on Snapchat now?
I forget about my Snapchat.
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Daryl Kristen, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff,
we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us. info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio. Instagram me at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in.
Hollywood Redefined.
Black Hollywood Live exclusive.
Views of BHL or its owners or principals.